Cool. How's everybody?
Terrific.
Well.
Good. How about the rest of you? again, for those of you who don't know, my name is Roy Heller. When I'm not here during the week, I teach Old Testament down at SMU, and this is a class where we're making our way slowly through the Bible. We've been doing this 3 years now, and now we're on the third book of the Bible. Fourth. How many books? Yeah,
four.
I should know this. My paycheck depends on it. We're in numbers now. So, is this the third year? I think we're in the book. Maybe, yeah, third. I guess finishing up the third year. Cool. Okay, well, let's have a word of prayer. We'll do some housekeeping stuff. We'll read some numbers. I mean, not literally numbers. I mean, we'll read from the book of numbers. And then we'll go do something important. How's that sound? Cool. So the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who has caused all scriptures to be written for our instruction. Teach us so to hear them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life that you have given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom you, with you and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, world without end.
Amen.
So we're making our way through Numbers. How many people, and again, I'm just curious, how many people were here last week? Yeah, so we're making our way through Numbers just to sort of review the way in which this is going to be something I'm going to talk about for another 3 weeks or so, but just sort of review, is that there are five books in the Pentateuch. First five books are important. They all sort of go together in the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Genesis and Deuteronomy are kind of strange books in the Torah, and that is they don't really have anything, they kind of either preparatory with Genesis or with Deuteronomy, sort of summary. So it's kind of like a very long 50-chapter introduction and a 48-chapter conclusion. In the middle, we have Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Exodus has to do with leaving a land, thus the name Exodus. Numbers has to do with getting ready to enter a land, which doesn't have anything to do with the name. But sort of leaving a land, entering a land, and right in the middle is Leviticus. And Leviticus, the main two things of Leviticus is how we live before God and how we live with each other. So there's that. With Exodus, leaving the land, and with getting ready to enter the land, after they leave the land of Egypt, you remember Charlton Heston and all of that, right? Yes. So after that, something that they don't do in the movie, which is a real pity because it would be really funny. It's not a very funny movie, actually. It could have picked up a bit. If I were directing it, oh my gosh, it would be great. But after they leave the land, they go through the wilderness to get to Sinai so that we can get to Sinai so we can get to Leviticus. They go through the desert to get to Sinai, and there's a series of stories about them complaining about stuff. They complain about water. They complain about enemies wanting to kill them. They complain about food, which is what we read sort of last week with Numbers. So there's these stories in Exodus with complaining in the wilderness. There's also these stories before they get ready to enter the land. There's also these stories when they leave Sinai, they walk through the desert. And there's also these stories about complaining in the desert. So you can sort of see it's kind of a bookend type thing, the way the whole Pentateuch, the whole Torah is sort of organized. If you were here last week, we did a story about them complaining about food. The interesting thing about the story about food in Exodus is that as soon as they start complaining about food, we don't have anything to eat in the big middle of the desert, God gives them food. There's no anger, there's no punishment. We need some food, God gives them some food in the form of manna, the stuff that sort of falls from the sky and they sort of pick up every day. And it's delicious. It's great stuff. If you were here again last week, we have another food story where they're looking at the manna and they're sick and tired of manna. They don't want to eat manna anymore. My God, anything but manna. We want some meat to eat. And so God says, oh, you don't like the manna. How many of you have like made like a meal for your little kid, right? Oh, what do you want? Oh, anything at all, right? Here's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't like peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's kind of the way it was. Oh, so you don't like banana, so you want to eat meat. Okay, that's fine and dandy. You're going to eat meat. I'm going to send quail. And you'll eat quail not for a day, not for 2 days, not for 3 days, and not for 7 days, and not for a month. In fact, you're going to eat it until it comes out your nose. It actually says that. I know it's funny, but that's actually not me. That's actually the Bible. Yeah, you're going to eat it until it comes out your nose. And I think it's hilarious. Actually, I think it's humorous. What they actually do. And so it's an interesting story that we saw last week because it's a tradition where the provision is actually a punishment. I said this in my Old Testament class this past week, and this is actually a truism. This is a truism from Genesis all the way through, and I've said it before in this class, but it bears repeating, actually, particularly today. And that is there, I don't know if this is actually a stewardship type of thing or not, but Genesis and Revelation, God never gives a blessing without that blessing being a test. God never gives us a blessing without that blessing. There's no such thing as a free lunch. I mean, there really isn't. God never gives us a blessing without that blessing being a test. God gives us something, and then we're going to see what you're going to do with it. I give you intelligence. I give you a skill. I give you a talent. I give you money. I give you fame. I give you friends. I give you health. I give you, I don't care what it is. There's never a blessing that's not simultaneously a test. And that's kind of what we saw last week with the food. And that is, all right, here's a blessing. Let's see what you do with it. I don't like it. Okay. We'll try to deal with that. You remember last week, if you were here last week, that in fact the story about the food is actually one of two stories that have been interwoven together. It's not just a story about food. There's also a story about leadership, Moses' leadership, if you remember. And those two stories are interesting because it's kind of like a sitcom, right? In the big middle of the sitcom, you sort of have a commercial, right? And when you deal with the commercial, when the commercial's over, you just pick right back up where the sitcom ended. You know what I mean? And again, this doesn't cause any confusion whatsoever, right? I mean, you're not sort of going along in the story, and then suddenly somebody's talking about a toilet bowl cleaner, and you don't think to yourself, I don't remember toilet bowl cleaner in the story. No, of course not. It's a commercial. It's doing something different. And then we go back to the story. That's a good analogy. That's kind of exactly what we saw last week. I just came up with that, right? That's kind of what we saw last week, and that is we have these two different things that have been interwoven together. If you're trying to put them together, if you actually think that the commercial is part of the sitcom, you're going to be very confused. In the same way last week, if you think that the story about leadership is actually a natural part of the story of the food, well, I don't understand why this is here. But once you sort of see that there are two different traditions that have been merged, it's like, oh, we're sort of telling two stories at the same time, interestingly enough. Today we're going to do something a little bit different, and that is we're going to take, just like we saw last week, two different traditions that have been melded together. Today we're going to look at two stories that actually come from the same tradition. So the same tradition sort of becomes two different stories. One is from one of these wilderness wandering stories in Exodus, Exodus 17, a story about water. And one is a story in Numbers, a wilderness wandering complaining story in Numbers. I mean, you can see how I'm artfully spending a great deal of time. Sometimes Microsoft Word drives me crazy.
Yes.
I thought it should be so simple. But anyway, finally, after a while, I have laid these two things out in columns and have sort of put the various parts of the story right next to one another. You can see, which sort of helps about how the parts relate to each other, how this single tradition becomes, in fact, two rather different stories. anything else I want to say about this? No, we'll just read through it. So let's start off with the Exodus one. I'm just going to read the Exodus one through. Then we're going to read the Numbers one through. And then I'll talk about the relationship between them. How's that sound? And then by that point, we'll see where we are. So here we go with the Exodus story. From the wilderness of Sin. It's not Sin, it's a name of a place, right? So from the wilderness of, oh my gosh, I grew up in the Pentecostal church, and we hear all sorts of sermons about the wilderness of Sin. No, it's an actual place. It's not, but anyway. So from the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. So he's bringing them out of Egypt and taking them to Sinai, so they're going through the desert. They camped at Rephidim, and there's no water for the people to drink. And the people quarreled. They complained. Right? It's the same word in Hebrew. They quarreled or they complained with or against Moses. And they said, give us water to drink. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? It's an interesting couple of questions, isn't it? Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? It's almost as if Moses thinks of himself as, well, never mind. But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses. And they said, why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children with livestock with thirst? So they have all this livestock. So they had themselves, and they had their kids, and they have all of these animals. All of these animals. Remember last week? We don't want to eat this manna anymore. We wish we had some meat to eat. But we don't have anything to eat that's meat-like around here. You just want free food. That's what you want. Cool. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Why did you do that? Because that's, of course, the reason why you're freed from slavery, is to kill you. So Moses cried out to the Lord, what should I do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, shut up. Go ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. And I'll be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. You strike the rock, and water's going to come out of it so that the people can drink. Wow, that's pretty cool. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massa and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Massa means test, T-E-S-T in Hebrew, and Meribah means it's a complicated word. Let's just say it means, it doesn't mean complaining, but it does mean,
like
a formal conflict. One of the places that Meribah, the word, the noun itself, Meribah, gets used, is like in court proceedings. So you have two different people that are wanting two different things, and so they go to Judge Judy, right? And right, People's Court, for those of you who are older. I don't even know who the few people are. But anyway, you sort of have a court proceeding. And that's what's going on here, right? And so that's the reason why he calls this place in Exodus. He calls this place Test and Court Trial. What a weird name. Although Texas place names are just as weird. But anyway, court trial. So that's what he calls this place. Because the Israelites quarreled, they contested and tested. Oh, that's kind of cool. Contested and tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? And obviously the answer is, yes, of course. Duh. Look at the water from a rock. That's remarkable. So far, so good. Just one thing before we move on to the numbers. Just notice that in the Exodus story, I like to play this game sometime with myself. What if Roy Heller wrote the Bible, right? If Roy Heller wrote the Bible, I can tell you that strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink. And Moses took the staff in his hand and walked up to the rock and in the sight of all the people raised his staff and struck the rock, and suddenly a huge, I would build up a miracle, right? I mean, it's obviously a miracle story, right? Obviously, the person that wrote this didn't know what the whole point of the story was, because it's obviously a miracle story, and so I would build up a miracle, right? Just notice there's a miracle here, but it's not a big deal. And Moses did that. I just find that interesting. I don't know what to do with it, but I just think it's interesting. So anyway, here's the numbers. And you can tell just from the whole reason why I had to use a legal size sheet is because of the numbers passage. It's much longer. But just notice that it's the same story, but it's quite different. It's the same, let's say it's the same tradition, but it's quite different. The Israelites, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin. Interesting, isn't it? It's not Sin, it's Zin here. Into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed at Kadesh. Miriam died there and was buried there. Again, something that I don't know if you noticed it. Miriam didn't die in the first story. Because, of course, if she had, she couldn't have died in the second story. But just notice that at the very beginning of this story, there's kind of a downer, shall we say. At the very beginning of this story, there's something that's not in the first story that's unfortunate. There's something that's sad. Again, Miriam was a big deal, Moses' sister. And it's kind of like at the very beginning of the movie, you can tell just from the opening credits of a movie if what we're dealing with is a comedy, what we're dealing with is a thriller, if we're dealing with mystery, if we're dealing with Harry Potter. You can already tell from the very first because of the music that's going on. In a sense, for me at least, this is kind of foreboding. This story, this is the same story, but it's not the same story. So something not so good is going to be going on here. Now, there was no water for the congregation. Well, do you know, they come to Kadesh, and there's no water for the congregation. And so they gathered together against Moses and against Aaron, and the people quarreled. Of course they did. With Moses and said, I wish we had died when our kindred died before the Lord. I wish we died a long time ago, right? Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness for us and our livestock to die here? Sound familiar? Yeah, it sounds exactly like the other story. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to bring us to this wretched place? There's no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates. And not only that, there's no water to drink. And then Moses and Aaron went away from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting. This is the place where they meet God. They built this at Sinai. And they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the staff, right? It's not like the people that worked in an office, but take the stick, right? Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and your brother Aaron, and command the rock before their eyes to yield its water. Notice the difference, that's important. Command the rock to yield its water. And that's how you bring out water out of the rock for them. And that's how you're going to provide drink for the congregation and their livestock. And just notice here, just quick, you don't even have to read it. You can just tell that at this point in the story, there's a lot more that's going to be going on in the Numbers story than there is in the Exodus story. You can all that like space. So then, if Roy Heller wrote the Bible, somebody has come along, it wasn't Roy Heller, somebody much older than I am, has come along and it actually has expanded the story here. So Moses took the staff from before the Lord, as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, listen, you scoundrels, listen, you rebels, shall we bring water out for you out of this rock? And then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock. Twice! And water came out abundantly, and the congregation, their livestock, drank. Yay! Wonderful. Oh, the story doesn't stop there. It keeps. That's where the story's supposed to stop. But just notice, yet again, somebody has come along, not Roy Heller, because I wouldn't have done this, because this is a downer. But I wouldn't have put this type of stuff in there. I would have made it a happy story, because I like happy stories. But here we go. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you didn't trust in me to show my holiness before the eyes of the Israelites, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. Because you're going to the land of Canaan, the promised land. Because you did not trust in me to show my holiness before the eyes of the Israelites, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. And then just notice that both stories end very similarly. These are the waters of Meribah. Well, I thought those were the waters of Meribah. It's kind of interesting, right, is that there's a naming at the end. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and by which he showed his holiness. Cool. So, there's the two stories. Have a good week. And what I want to do, just a little bit, is to compare the different parts of it. Ready? Or actually, I'm just going to look at the different parts, and I want you to compare the different parts, because I just have one brain, and you have lots of brains. So, here we go. So, from the beginning, and again, I've sort of talked about this already, so we may just skip over it, but just to tell you. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord... Oh, first of all, before I even start that, do you see how it's the same story? I mean, it's the same general outline. Obviously, things have been added to the quote-unquote second story that aren't in the first story to make it a very different story, but yet the general outline of the story is very similar. So far, so good? Okay, good. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. Numbers. The Israelites, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Sin in the first month, and the people stayed at Kadesh. Miriam died there and was buried there. Again, just to sort of start the ball rolling, right? There's a difference there that has to do with Miriam's death. And I think that's important in the story that doesn't wind up so well. So, there's that. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Now, there was no water for the congregation. In my ears, that sounds pretty similar. There's not much of a difference there. Right? They get to a place, there's no water. Now then, let's see what we do with this part, the quarreling scene. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Numbers. So they gathered together against Moses and against Aaron, and the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Would that we had died when our kindred died before the Lord. Why have you brought this assembly of the Lord into this wilderness for us and our livestock to die here? Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to bring us to this wretched place? There's no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink." Cool. All right. You know, like when you read the funny papers, there's I don't remember what it's called, but there's like two pictures, and they look almost identical, but you have to find the differences. You know what I mean? So, here we go. I think generally it's the same scene. People are complaining against Moses. Moses is somehow responding, at least in one of them. What differences do you see? I'm going to shut up now.
They added Aaron.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? And maybe, and again, the reason why they added Aaron, and again, I don't know. I don't know who wrote this, so I can't ask them. I can't text them. But one of the things that has happened between Exodus and Numbers is Leviticus and the consecration of Aaron to be a leader among the people. And so now the leadership is not just with Moses, but with Aaron as well. And so whenever leadership type of things have to come about, Aaron sort of gets, might have been. That might be the reason why he's added. Excellent. What else? Yeah?
In Numbers, is Numbers more than water. I'm sorry.
No.
In Numbers, they want more than water.
Yeah, what do they want?
To settle in the appropriate.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? It's no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, right? Yeah, it's almost as if they want to. Yeah, again, I don't know if you know anything about. I don't know if you know anything about grains or figs or vines or pomegranates, but they take time. It's not just something. Yeah, that you just get automatically. It's not like the mini market or something that you just go. No, they want to. They want to stay there in cultivate it, yeah. So it is kind of an interesting thing. We'll talk. Actually, this might come up. It's interesting. I hadn't noticed that. And this is something that we'll see later. Something that they just don't get it in Numbers. But yeah, very good. What else? Yeah. Yeah. There seems to be more of a quarreling scene. an actual quarreling back and forth and back and forth. Whereas in Numbers, it's just a long speech of complaining. There's not much quarreling goes on. So it's just the Moses kind of takes an active role in the Exodus, whereas the people just sort of run roughshod over him in Numbers. Yeah, that's cool. So he does sort of, there's a response by Moses. And I think there is in the Numbers one as well, but not here. So, yeah.
So they also no longer care about their children.
Oh.
Says they care about their livestock.
For us and our livestock. Yeah, and they don't mention the children specifically.
Like, oh, that's interesting.
I understand.
They're a little bit older now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. This is what happens when you do things out of order. The number story that we read last time was in Numbers 14, and this one is obviously in Numbers 20. So what's happened in the middle? Actually, something very important has happened in the middle that I don't want to read now. I wanted to read later, but it's kind of important now because you brought up children. Thanks. And again, it's a very important story. In fact, it's a central story. In fact, when I teach Old Testament, and it's not a slow process. We have to get through the whole Old Testament in 1 year. In fact, the only story we read in Numbers is, in fact, not this story. In fact, the story that we skip over, and it's a story about the spies that are sent into the land. And we will read that, but I want to read it closer to Deuteronomy when we finish up Numbers. In fact, it will probably be the last story we read in Numbers, even though it appears in the center of the book. And the important thing about that is that God, spoiler alert, one of the things that comes from that story that occurs between these two stories is that the people, God says to, God's ready to give them the land. They don't want to take the land. And so God says, all right, if you don't want to take the land, that's perfectly fine. You don't have to take the land. You're all going to die. In fact, that whole generation, everybody standing here now, that's over the age of 20 is going to die. Everybody. And your children are going to inherit the land. So I sort of wonder if that's the reason why they're not so concerned about the children. It's because they know the children are going to make it. But during these 40 years where I'm sort of going around, I'm worried about myself. But I don't know if that's... It's a great story. But yeah, we'll read it later. Anything else that goes on in these two?
Yeah. The line, would that we had died when our kindred died before the Lord, show the depth of distrust and lack of faith they came to.
Yeah, I wish that we had died. And again, it's not just, why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us? But I just wish that we had died when those earlier people had died. And again, this is 3 years or so after they had left Egypt. So yeah, they see death as it's not just Moses's, it's just the despair, lack of faith, like you say. Anything else?
Yeah. Why were both books added to the Torah since they're so similar?
Yeah, I think that's a great question because This is something that's true in the Bible as a whole. I don't know if you notice, but whenever you start reading the New Testament, mm-hmm. You read a story about Jesus, and then you read another one, and then you read another one, and then you read another one. So you have four different stories that are basically telling the same story, and yet, when you read them carefully, they're four totally different stories. I mean, they present... We're not getting to the New Testament until probably 2038. And so I'll go ahead and say this. When you actually read them in their integrity, they present four very different pictures of who Jesus is. I mean, very different. And so the question is, which one's right? Well, of course, they're all right, right? But the reason, but the whole point is that they're telling the stories in such a way to make a different point about who Jesus is. Same exact thing goes on here. It's the same story, and yet it's being told, I think, from a far very different point. Right. So. Cool. Yeah.
I think in the numbers here, it raises the question of trust.
How?
Well, it says he didn't trust me, so I'm going to have to demonstrate my holiness.
Say it again.
Because he didn't trust me, I'll have to show my holiness.
Exactly.
So they're raising the question, you should trust me.
True, you trust. Yeah. Or is there any trust? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Here's the response from Moses in both stories. So Moses cries out to the Lord, What am I going to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me. So he cries out to God, right? Moses and Aaron, because Aaron is added. Moses and Aaron went away from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting, and they fell on their faces, right? So again, there's kind of a response by Moses and Aaron. To the complaining, and it's not confrontation with the people, it's sort of, yet again, going to God and doing something with God to try to remedy the situation. And one of them, it seems as though Moses is complaining as well, which we saw last week. Moses is complaining as well, and whereas in the Numbers one, interestingly enough, it's just sort of imploring God. Here we go. The Lord said to Moses, here's the plan. God does this a lot in the Torah, sort of gives you the plan, and then the plan comes about. The Lord said to Moses, go ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile. Remember, he strikes the Nile. This is a long time ago. This is, whenever. 2 years ago, almost. Strike the Nile and it turns into blood, right? So, take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go, and I'll be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb and strike the rock and water's going to come out of it so that the people can drink. Cool. So that's the Exodus. That's the plan according to Exodus. Here's the plan according to Numbers. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, take the staff, assemble the congregation, you and your brother Aaron. There's Aaron again thrown in there. Command the rock before their eyes to yield its water, and thus you shall bring water out of the rock for them. And thus you shall provide drink for the congregation and their livestock. Difference? Five-year-old can answer that. One of the major differences is what?
I told you three times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, one of the major differences is that do you strike the rock or do you speak to the rock, right? So far, so good?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Strike it or anything else that's... you'd notice a difference. And again, that's an honest question. Yeah.
In Exodus, attack the elders. It sounds like they're running away from people, whereas in Numbers, they're doing it in front.
That's interesting. Oh, that's cool. See, we could write a great commentary all together. that's good. Yeah. Go ahead of the people and take some of the elders with you. Yeah, so that you sort of go on ahead, right? Whereas this one, it sort of appears in the middle of it, right? Yeah, that's cool. That's great. Before their eyes, and again, it's important, right, in the Numbers one. Before their eyes, you know, you have to do this in front of them, right? Before their eyes to yield its water. And that's how you bring water out of the rock for them, and that's how you provide drink for the congregation. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's neat. Oh, that's true. Oh my gosh, that's really great. You get it. All started because again later, right? Moses did so in the sight of the elders, right? Again, this is totally done outside of people knowing what's happening, and he has to take them to the water, right? Whereas in this one, it happens all. So it's even more of a miracle, quote unquote, even more of a quote unquote miracle because it happens right there. It's not like a magic trick that happens behind the curtain or something. Yeah. For me, at least one more. Again, I don't know Moses. He died long before I was born, so I never got to know him. And so I don't really have any investment in either making him a positive character or a negative character. I really don't. I just want to know how the story sees Moses. On the other hand, for me at least, another big difference between the instructions. I will be standing there in front of you at the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock. And water will come out of it so that the people may drink. So far, so good? In this one, you bring out water for them. and you're going to provide drink for them. Moses is the one that does the thing. Whereas in this one, he strikes it, but then water, you notice there's no, you're going to do this. You just strike it, and then water's going to come out of it. Whereas in this one, you're going to provide the water. You're going to provide the water. And so later on, it might be a bit of the confusion in Moses' own head. Obviously, in the Exodus and Numbers, in this next part, there's only one line because the miracle is in fact not the point. In the Exodus one, Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And obviously in this one, it's huge. And so obviously there's a huge difference. Right? Moses takes the staff, he goes, and again, it's as if Roy Heller is writing this, right? Listen, and then he says, listen, you rebel, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? Who's the we? Huh? Moses and Aaron? Yeah, maybe.
Moses and God?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, for me at least, it's ambiguous. I don't know who the we is. And that's part of the problem, is that I'm not sure who the we is, and I don't know if Israel knows who the we is. But it's certainly not God. I don't know if you know anything about first person plural pronouns, but it always includes me. Shall we bring water out from the rock? Moses lifts up his hand, strikes the rock twice, not just once, twice with his staff. Water comes out abundantly, and the congregation and their livestock drank. But that's not the end of the story. The Lord says to Moses and Aaron, because you didn't trust me to show my holiness before the eyes of the Israelites, therefore you're not going to bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. And in fact, they don't. I mean, Moses dies. Aaron's going to die relatively soon. And Moses is going to die right before they enter the land. And obviously, this is the major difference in the tradition. What strikes me, particularly with the Miriam dies there, was buried there from the very beginning, and I can tell from... Yeah, go ahead.
And that was what I was going to ask about, is the death of Miriam marked the beginning of the end of her generation.
Yes, exactly, because again, in this preceding story, we had this whole thing that everybody's going to die in that generation, and we start seeing it, they start dropping, right, with Miriam.
Is there any significance that in the Exodus story, he gathers the elders and numbers as the whole congregation?
This is just me. Whenever you ask Roy Heller, is there any significance? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there is. Is there any significance in the fact that it says sin instead of sin? Yes, absolutely. It's significant. I don't know what the significance might be, but it's... I mean, we're dealing with texts that are 2,500 years old that people have, like, spent their lives and died over, right? Copying these things painstakingly over and over. And so whenever there's anything in the Bible, is it significant? Absolutely. This is not sort of writing that sort of goes off and says, I'll just put in a little flourish here. No, everything's important. It very well might be. I mean, considering the different ways in which that same tradition gets used, that this that it actually might, I don't know. Again, I don't know what the significance might be, but it might be that, in fact, the fact that everyone's there watching it makes it a lot more onerous, heavy, for Moses to do it right, and he doesn't. And therefore, it's a lot bigger punishment, right? Whenever, it's kind of like, what is it called? Whenever there's a notorious sinner that doesn't get to take Eucharist, right? There's this whole, I don't know it here, obviously. There's this whole thing in it, in that if there's someone, or is there any sinners here this morning? Yes, of course, everyone, right? This is kind of a big deal for Protestants, right? We're all sinners, right? But the fact is that if someone is a notorious sinner, that is the whole community, the whole society knows what's going on. Yeah, go ahead.
It's open and notorious.
Open and notorious, that's even more important, yeah. And so if someone is like clearly, I mean, not like anybody, well, maybe Chris Holly, but anyway, besides Chris, if there's someone that's like everybody knows, and everybody, you know, this, it's like open, yeah. Then it's kind of tough about what their relationship is to the community. And it very well may be that because this is done before the whole community, it's a worse punishment than it might have been otherwise. Yeah.
I've been thinking it would take an awful long time for all those people and livestock to get water.
Yes.
Enough.
Yes. It would take a long time if this were historically accurate. Anyway, we can talk about that later. In 2038. Because you didn't trust, in me to show my holiness before the eyes of the Israelites, therefore you're not going to bring this assembly into the land that I've given them. And at the very end, for me, at least, the other significant thing, and we got to go. The other significant thing is the way it ends, and that it ends very similarly, and yet very differently. So the place is called Massah or Meribah. So the waters are called Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested, because the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord. And the Exodus one, by saying, is the Lord among us or not? The people have the last word in the Exodus story. God has the last word in the Numbers story, and by which he showed his holiness. This is something you don't want to mess with. This is God's awesomeness. Something you need to pay attention to, which we talked a lot about in Leviticus. So, anyway, same tradition, two different stories being used in two very different ways. When we go back next week, we'll read something else in Numbers. We'll see where Roy Heller decides. Any final thoughts? Yeah.
In the last two paragraphs, they use this word twice.
Which one?
They use holiness.
Oh, holiness, yes.
They don't talk about God being kind or generous.
Oh, right.
It seems to be like the point is, no, God shows his holiness.
That's right.
So this is culturally kind of weird to me.
Yeah.
So why did the author choose to really emphasize that?
Yeah, it for me at least, one of the reasons why holiness is emphasized here is because of Leviticus in the middle. Right? We had a lot about holiness in Leviticus, right? And that is that holiness has to do with something that's, again, the way I like to talk about it, is that Roy Heller is very small. God is very big. They're not the same thing, you know? And this is something that is awesome. This is something that is... that God can do infinitely more than we can ask or ever imagine, right? That's what it is. And so it might be that the Numbers emphasizes the holiness because we've had a lot of instruction about holiness. We didn't have any instruction about holiness in Exodus. And so now, one of the things with that holiness is that you gotta, there's things you gotta do and things you don't want to do, and you don't want to confuse yourself. And again, this very well may be we as we and me and God. You don't want to confuse those two things. Thank you very much. Come back next week, please. And bring your friends.